Shall we turn in our Bibles to Psalm 1 this evening? Psalm 1 tonight's where we want to look. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the opportunity to dip in your word tonight. We thank you so much for your word, Lord, that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Help us, Lord, hide it in our hearts. Treasure it, Lord, that we won't sin against you. We thank you so much. Father, by your Holy Spirit tonight, give me the words to say, and those things I say that aren't necessary, may they be forgotten, Lord, but be glorified tonight, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. First thing I want to do is read the psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he does, or doeth, if you say King James, shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And so as we dip in here, I entitled this message, The Righteous and the Ungodly. Borrowing from Dr. McGee, and you've heard me mention his name a time or so, some people prefer to read him rather than listen to him, but I didn't have a problem with it, you know. He was a country boy, and I have to admit, the first time I heard him on the radio, I thought, now who is this, you know? But oh, as he began teaching the Word of God, the Lord used him, you see. So, but borrowing from Dr. McGee, his theme, two men, two ways, two destinies. And so this psalm is a psalm of really contrasts. We see in contrast between the life of the righteous and the ungodly. Notice the first and the last words of the psalm. The first is blessed, and the last is perish. There is an obvious contrast here, you see. So we first look and are going to look at the blessed or the righteous man, and then the ungodly man. In verse 1, the word blessed, you might say, means, oh, how happy. Oh, how happy. He's blessed. There's a joy in his heart. We also see in these verses the practice of the blessed man here in these first few verses or so. Of course, a little further in this psalm, we'll see the power of the blessed man. And finally, his permanency. So next in verse 1, as we begin, we're going to see the negative side of the practice of the blessed man. The negative side. And so what the blessed man doesn't do, you see. And so as we see here, three positions or postures. And remember the first verse here, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Those are things he doesn't want to do, that doesn't do these. So as I said, we see these three postures, positions or postures. He doesn't walk, now this is referring to the blessed man, he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners, and he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. Notice the three words, walk, stand, and sit. So if we begin, you see, to walk or associate in the counsel or the advice of the ungodly, it can lead then to standing with the sinners or joining with the sinner, which can then lead to sitting with the scornful or the scoffer. You see those positions, that posture that can take place. Walk, you're walking along. Man, it's amazing when you think of the many ways in which we can be thrown the counsel of the ungodly. The ear gate, the eye gate, oh my. And so, not only with the printed ink page, but we think of the internet, and we think of the various ways in which, if we're not careful, we can dip in and be influenced by the counsel, the advice of the ungodly. And so that's why, of course, David wasn't dealing with those kind of things when he wrote it, but there was definitely that problem of the counsel of the ungodly. And we're faced with it. Satan attacks us with those kind of things. Those things that flash out in front of your eyes as you're going down the road. Those things that come across the TV, the radio, and what's sad is it'll flash in your ear or your eye, and it'll cause you to flash on something you'd rather not flash on or see or hear in your ear. Oh, how important it is to beware of those ways in which that counsel, the ungodly, that advice comes from us. Look at the advertisements. Oh, you need this. Oh, go out and, my, you are not happy without that. Are you really? Oh, my. Ungodly means leaving God out. And of course, sin is missing that mark, you know. And of course, the scornful, he's like, really like the atheist, isn't he? So we see in this succession of steps, regression, deterioration, and degeneration. It's a progress. It's steps that if we're not careful, we start taking, we get pulled away from the things of the Lord. And as believers, believe me, if we're not delighting ourselves in the Lord, what comes in goes out. Garbage in, garbage out. The word in, that's what's going to come out. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, the Lord said. One is not blessed or happy if he walks in the counsel or advice of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. There's no blessing in that. We read in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. How true, how true. And of course, that's where we were walking before we came to Christ. If there be any among us tonight that has not taken that opportunity to ask Jesus Christ into your life, to forgive you your sins, and to begin making you the person He wants you to be, I invite you to do that tonight. Do that tonight. He loves you. He loves you. And where you're feeling empty, He'll fill it with His love, His grace. Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Isn't that interesting? In his own eyes, the ways of a man. And so, as we said, remember, this is a psalm of contrast. We've seen the negative side of the practice of the blessed man. So we see what we're not to do. And there are those things we're not to do, but thank God there are those things we are to do too. Now, we look at the positive side of the practice of the blessed man. Notice his delight is in the law of the Lord. And so let's just read that section before I start talking a little bit more here. Starting in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he, we'll just keep on going, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does, he shall prosper. His delight is in the law of the Lord. The blessed man, that righteous man who has gained his righteousness, that which is right through Jesus Christ. Not in himself, of course. And so we walk by faith. The law, of course, the law itself doesn't save us. Of course, this law, this word law, is referring not only to the law, but, you know, I believe the Word of God, like over in Psalm 19 and Psalm 119. But that does not mean we aren't to obey what God's law has to say. Just as there are physical laws in the universe, right? God has given us His spiritual laws, His Word, His laws. Jesus, the law in that sense showed us that we couldn't measure up. But that doesn't mean His law is done away with, where there are things we are to do or not to do, so on and so forth. His Word is that lamp unto our feet, that light, you see. So just as there are consequences of going against the physical laws, there are also consequences of going against breaking God's laws, His spiritual laws, His Word, that which He commands us to do. If we will walk in His ways, there's a blessing in that. Both the physical laws and God's spiritual laws are for our good. Now, I'm sure all of you have experienced one time or other the consequences of breaking the physical laws of God and God's spiritual laws, things that He's commanded you to do and you disobeyed, and there are consequences. You know, when you think about two blobs or portions of matter trying to occupy the same space, especially if they're moving fast, there's going to be a crash. And the result is contact. It happens with football players every game. The running back is occupying this, he's trying to occupy this space running down across those yard markers. That linebacker is seeking to occupy his space and tackle him and bring him to the ground. I know as you have personally have experienced the law of gravity, it was when Diane and I were working with the youth down there in Ark City, the youth group, and we had our study, we had fellowshiped and all, we decided to go fellowship some more, and we took a trip over to Wendy's there in Ark City. Now the thing about it is, Wendy's there in Ark City, the way it's set up, when you pull over and park, especially on the south side, I believe it is. Well, there happens to be a retaining wall there. Well, in those days, I didn't use my white cane like a good boy, you know. And I knew how. But anyway, as I got out of the car and walked to the front, I thought that was a bumper curb. So I stepped over. And it was like, you know, now you see him, now you don't. And I went down, there happened to be, but due to the fact I went down before, not quite that good a retaining wall, I'm immediately thinking, how am I going to do this, you know? But there happened to be a fence right there. So I got my hands right out, touched that fence and balanced and landed. But mercy, the youth group people were saying, ooh, what happened to him, you know, because I landed. There is an example of gravity. It will have its effects. God's Word, what we do with His Word, how we live for Him. You know, over in Galatians 6, it talks about if you sow unto the flesh, that's what you reap. If you sow unto the Spirit, that's what you're going to reap. You see what I mean? The effects, the consequences of life, knowing God, living for Him, gravity, you know, all those physical things. God's creation has its effects, you know, in that respect. But I'll never forget that landing. And it still took me a little while to really use my cane all the time, but, you know, I don't go without it much anymore, especially as I've, you know, gotten older and seems like I see even less than I did then. There are laws for living a blessed life given by God. If we break those, we experience consequences. You know, if He says and lets us know, if we respond in that way, there's going to be a consequence. However, if we seek His way, if we're in His Word, there are also consequences of being blessed. Doesn't mean everything's going to go hunky-dory, but there's going to be a peace that you can't explain. So we walk by faith, as I said earlier. We make mistakes, of course, and we break God's law. We do. He loves us and forgives us. That's the neat thing, huh? You see, the various things we've done, and there are still consequences, but He does forgive us. There can be scars, but oh, how he heals us, you see, from going through those things. So the blessed man delights in the law of the Lord. He doesn't just recognize its importance, but he meditates on it day and night, you see. That's the thing. To delight in it means you're going to spend time in it. He meditates. Now, I have to give you this example that this is a thing I heard from McGee, but I liked it, you see. The word meditate here, he meditates, can be defined and illustrated by thinking of a cow that chews her cud. And it really is a good illustration. And those of you who've been around cows, you know what I'm talking about. She eats all the grass she can in the cool of the morning. In the cool of the day, in the afternoon, though, you see, see that grass is nice. It's dew. There's dew. She's getting moisture. She's getting, oh, man, she's going to town. Just moseying along, got that head down, just chewing away. And if you've ever, you know, some of you who have gone down maybe the highway, and you may see a cow out there in the afternoon, they're just kind of relaxed. And while they're relaxing, I mean, they've taken all that grass in they can. But in the afternoon, she lays around. She burps it up, chews on it. Now, that sounds kind of different, doesn't it? But isn't that the truth as we're in God's Word? We read it. We spend time in the morning. And you know, as the day goes by, He begins to speak to our heart about something we read. He gives us a live illustration. Oh, that's what you mean, Lord. You see what I'm saying? Yes. Oh, but just think, that becomes milk, doesn't it? That chewing that grass and burping it up. Whoa, yeah. But we like it. We are to meditate or chew on the Word of God. Amen? Psalm 119, 105 says, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now let's look over here at Psalm 19 right quick. Psalm 19. Of course, basically the first six verses really are talking, really it talks about how creation really expresses God, you see. In fact, the heavens declare thy glory, the glory of God, and the firmament thereof, His handiwork. And you can just imagine that David, and I've heard commentators say this, you can imagine that David could have been thinking about either when he was in battle somewhere or out when he was taking care of the sheep. He could have been laying there in the wide open, looking up and seeing the stars and just going, whoa, heavy duty. That's God's creation. You see what I mean? That expresses it. But over here in verse 7, it says here, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them," isn't that neat?
Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, you see. Oh, God's word. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me. Isn't this a neat psalm? David's just pouring out his heart. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Oh, God. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my God, strength and my redeemer. Now I'm going to have you turn one more place. Psalm 119, verse 9. And we'll look at just a little bit, you see. Psalm 119:9. I've shared this before. This is one of my favorite verses. I hear those pages. Wherewithal shall a young man, I think we can say ladies too, cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Amen? That's how he can do it. And then verse 10, with all my heart I have sought thee. O Lord, let me not wander from thy commandments. Because thy word have I hid or treasured in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Wonderful section, isn't it? Now back to where we were. Meanwhile, back at Psalm 1, the results of the man who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on it. What is it? He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Water can be symbolic of the Word of God. It is that which brings us to Christ, you see. The Holy Spirit draws us. Faith comes by, in Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? And so it is that which brings us to Christ and gives us spiritual food for growth, you see. Oh, how important, how important. And so water is clear, isn't it? And it can be seen, at least if it's, you know, depends on what's in that water. But anyway, typically water, you know, we see it as transparent. But see, the Word of God and its transparency of who God is and who we are, you see. You see, the Word of God reveals to us who God is, and we learn about Him as well as who we are, really. Isn't that the truth? As I'm reading God's Word, oh, He begins to show me things. Now, what do I do with it? And of course, you've heard me in other studies. If I read this one, I'm sure, Hebrews 4:12. And it says, for the Word of God is quick. That means it's living. And it's powerful. You see, it's not just a mere literature book. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Oh, isn't that the truth? And of the joints and marrow. And this goes along with what we said, how the word, it speaks to it. It's the transparency of what God shows us about Him and ourselves, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How many times have you read the Word and all of a sudden God shows you your heart? Amen? Notice what is produced when a man delights himself in the law of the Lord and meditates on it. And he's like a tree, like we said, planted by the rivers of water. He brings forth fruit, doesn't he, in his season. Galatians 5, 22, 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Notice, really the fruit of the Spirit is love, and these all are attributes of it. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And of course, when Paul was talking about this, he was talking about encouraging those folks in the Galatians, don't try to maintain righteousness and salvation through keeping the law. It's not going to happen. We are to be bearing fruit in God's time. Our leaf shall not wither. We will have a strong witness for the Lord. Now, we know that, you know, and you hear that word prosper and prosperity, you know, there used to be those that probably still going around about, you know, you must be, you know, prosperity, gaining all you can and all this. Now, God allows some people to have a good bit of money and He allows some not to. But we still prosper in Him. Amen? Because He's working in us both to will and do of His good pleasure. He loves us. When we delight ourselves in the Lord and in His Word, we know that, well, Ephesians 2:10 says that we are His workmanship, His work of art, His poema. And we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, in Christ, you are His workmanship. Oh, before Christ, we were messes, and we can fall into messiness as Christians, but He loves us and He brings us out as we yield ourselves to Him and as we are real with Him, as we are honest and agree with Him, confess, agree with Him when we sin, and then allow Him to accept His forgiveness, you see. But He doesn't create misfits. We are His workmanship. And so in Christ, He's doing a work in your heart. He's the potter, we're the clay. The teacup goes through a bit to get to that nice little pretty teacup. It starts out as a big blob of clay, or a little blob. And it has to be worked. It has to be shaped, you see. We're His work of art. He's shaping us. He's continuing to shape us, you see. And He's using us for His work, and He meets our every need. We know that Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Are you concerned about your needs tonight? Do you feel like, you know, as He's doing a work in your heart, why is my experience? God is faithful. If you're having a need tonight, talk to Him about it. Now our attention, as we begin to close here, our attention turns to the ungodly. And we see that the ungodly, in contrast to the righteous, are like the chaff that the wind drives away. You see, the chaff reminds us of emptiness. You see, there's an emptiness. When the farmer throws up that wheat into the air, that chaff is blown away from the head of the wheat, you see, and it's just a shell. And you see, without Christ, we're just mere empty shells walking about. There's an emptiness that we try to fill. We're groping about aimlessly for something to confide. We're not necessarily seeking God, you see, because God says, no, there's none that seek God, no, not one. But boy, we are groping and wanting to serve something. And it's when the Holy Spirit, oh, He draws us, you see. And He begins to bring about circumstances and pulls us aside and speaks to us. I just remember those times before I got saved, that in the fall of that year, going down and visiting family in Texas, and the lady just saying, "You know, God loves you," and just the way she said, you know, I didn't forget it. You know, God was using that lady, and it was a couple, 3 months later that I gave my heart to the Lord. We're going to fill our life with something, you see, and it's never satisfying. And you know, a man can look so maybe like he's together on the outside. He can be walking from here to yon and, oh, having laughing and all. And you know, but if he's in a crowd, he's still as lonely as if he is by himself. You ever experience that? Oh, how lonely that is to know you're so empty. You can be in a crowd of fun and feel alone. But oh, God fills that emptiness. Amen? Oh, how wonderful. He can look as though everything's going great, but inside he's really not doing so well. He's just an earthen, we're just earthen vessels, you see, that are empty. And so the ungodly, as a result, will not stand in the way of judgment, nor sinners in this congregation of the righteous. You see, God knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That should give us more motivation to share the Lord with people, to think of the reality of that. What an awesome thought. The ungodly shall perish, you see. And all the methods, efforts, will not make you righteous without God. Our righteousness is only in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. We've got that abundant life with Him, all of us who are believers. Thank God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So what a contrast between the righteous and the ungodly. And so we see an application. When you're up and about, when you get up and start a day, when you turn the computer on, when you turn the TV on, when the smartphone is in the palm of your hand, what are you using it for? What is it doing for you? You know what I mean? When you see the magazines, when you see the things that appear in a store, what are you doing with that? Oh, guard, Lord, let us guard our hearts. Let us not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but let us delight ourselves in the Lord and meditate on His Word. Read it, pray it. You know, Patrick talked about this some time back, praying the Psalms. How important. As you're reading Psalm 1, you could ask the Lord, Lord, help me not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Help me not stand in the way of a sinner or sit in the seat of the scornful, but Lord, encourage me in delighting in Your law, meditating on it, chewing on it. And Lord, as I read it, help me ask questions and learn and allow You to speak to me by Your Holy Spirit. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for Your Word again, that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Continue to encourage us to hide it, to treasure it, Lord. And then as we read it, as we learn, help us to be obedient, Lord, to what You call us to do. May we let Your light shine in us. Maybe we be salt, salt and light. And so, Lord, we pray You would just bless now. And as we go from here, I pray that You would encourage each one, strengthen each one with Your might, impart Your spirit of wisdom to each in the revelation of the knowledge of You, encourage us in our walk and witness for You, strengthen us to live this Christian walk for You. And what time we are afraid, may we stand and realize You are our strength. Greater is You who is in us than he who is in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.